Season with our daily Power 5 conference previews. Yesterday was the Pac-12. We brought you Ryan Leaf. Today it's the ACC, and we bring to you from ESPN and new analyst for the ACC Network and former Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket himself, Mr. Roddy Jones. What's up, Roddy?
What's up, guys? I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
All right, before we get into the conference, talk to my listeners about your new role and about the ACC Network that will be unveiled here in a short time.
Yeah, so August 22nd, which is, I guess, a week, 2 days away, the ACC Network launches, and everybody around the conference is just incredibly excited about it, just because you've seen what the conference networks have done around the country for the SEC, the Big Ten in particular, and how much that's given in terms of branding and just storytelling, just having a place for the schools to call home on a network, and partnering with ESPN, a company that I've been with for a couple of years, getting a chance to move over to the ACC Network, moving up to the booth to be an analyst. I'm just incredibly excited about it. It's going to give a great opportunity to showcase the ACC schools, tell some of the stories off the field that you don't typically see, and let everybody know that it's not just Clemson and 13 Dwarves. It's actually a conference that's packed from top to bottom, incredible Olympic sports, incredible women's sports. So we're excited to tell those stories.
All right, let's start with Clemson. They have some replacing to do on the defensive front and the other side of the defense, but, man, they've got Xavier Thomas, they got Justin Foster, and all that edge presence that's still going to cause havoc for other teams. Are there any other positions at Clemson that need retooling, or is this just going to be another run through the league?
You could point to the linebacker position. I guess there was some attrition there with graduation and transfers, but Dabo Swinney is fired up about what that position group is going to bring. It may not be guys that are heralded. It's guys kind of like him that have grinded it out, maybe not come on as walk-ons, but they certainly weren't five-star guys, but guys that have been in the program and worked a lot. I guess you could point to the fact that they lost Trayvon Mullen at corner. But they're just loaded all over the field, Dusty. And offensively, they're going to be so good that even though they lose three starters on the offensive line, one of them, John Falsinelli, the center, was an all-ACC guy. Even though they lose those guys, they've had depth and they've played a bunch of guys across the front. When you blow people out by 20 every game, it's easy to get a guy a lot of experience. So I don't think there's anything I'm worried about with Clemson. Maybe punt returner? I mean, maybe because of Amari Rodgers, but it looks like he's going to come back early in the season. So there's literally the only thing to worry about there is complacency and maybe overlooking a team here and there. Although when you look at Syracuse early in the year, Texas A&M early in the year, those are games they're certainly going to get up for because they know they have to. It's later in the year that I'm looking at. You know, maybe a Wake Forest comes in and a team that I think is going to be very good comes in and surprises them. But if you're asking me whether or not they're going to go undefeated, I'd say absolutely yes, because they are just loaded with an all-timer at quarterback.
He is. Trevor Lawrence is something special. All right, Florida State in that same division in the Atlantic, I would say as underwhelming a year as Florida State's had in probably almost four decades. How does Willie Taggart and his team bounce back this year? Do you think they're much improved, Roddy?
I do. I do for a couple of reasons. Look, we like to treat all of these jobs, all these head coaching jobs, like they're all the same, and all the circumstances like they're all the same, and coaches should know exactly what to do as soon as they step on campus. That's not the case. You know, Florida State was a different job than any other job that Willie has ever taken over. He said as much. He said that every other job that he's taken over for a coach that had been fired. Well, when you have a coach leave like Jimbo did with all of the stuff around it that was going on, the personal issues, the issues with the administration, with not giving them the resources they wanted, there's a different feeling there amongst the team, and he had learned that over the course of year one. That job is also a bigger job than any other job that he's had before. And being in the state of Florida, at South Florida, he could kind of see like to be at Florida State. But Oregon's one of the premier jobs in the country. It just doesn't have the pressure that you do being in the Southeast. When you're essentially neighbors with the University of Florida, Georgia up the road, Alabama within striking distance, Clemson in your conference and in your division, there's going to be pressure as soon as you step on campus to produce. And that's why I think you saw the hire of Kendall Briles. That's why I think you saw the hire of Ron Clements as the offensive line coach. That's why I think you saw Coach Dugans come in as the wide receivers coach, because he realized, I can't just throw together an all-star team of coaches. I've got to relinquish some of the power, let somebody focus on the offense and Kendall Briles, get people around him that he's comfortable with and that he knows and that know that system, and then institute it and correct some of the stuff that we saw. The issue with Florida State wasn't the fact they went 5-7. That was a big issue. The issue was they looked completely incompetent. Pre-snap penalties, just couldn't get lined up, disorganized, didn't look like they played hard, didn't look like they wanted. They couldn't block you and me on the defensive line. So that was the issue with Florida State, and I think they get that corrected. Now, the issue I see this year is the schedule is a lot more difficult than it was a year ago. I mean, that schedule is pretty brutal. When you go Boise State, Louisiana, Monroe, that's a win. But then at Virginia to start the year, we could legitimately see a Florida State team that starts 1-2, even though they're improved. It's just tough because, of course, you get Miami every year from the other side. You get Florida at the end of the year. And then Syracuse is a better football team, and Clemson's a better football team. So this Florida State team will be improved. I don't think they get above 7 or 8 wins, but it will be a better team.
I think it's a really good discussion. After you talk about Clemson and this next group, there's 5 or 6 teams that look like they might be about even. Do you like Syracuse ahead of those other squads? Is it Miami, Virginia Tech, even NC State? Dusty and I talked about 6 or 7 teams that we think could be pretty good.
Yeah, to me, the hierarchy goes Clemson, Syracuse, and then there's about 5 or 6 teams after that. I like Syracuse a lot because every year when we look at Dino Babers teams, we start the conversation on offense. This is the year where that conversation starts with the defense. They've got 2 guys with double-digit sacks coming back, Alton Robinson and Kendall Coleman, who are fantastic at getting after the passer. They've got incredible talent on the back end, Andre Sisco being the headliner of that defensive back group, third-team All-American as a true freshman. The thing that you worry about is that team created 31 turnovers on defense last year, and that's not sustainable. And I don't think Dino Babers expects to have that many turnovers again. But the defense will be so much better because there will be more experience, particularly on the back end and on the defensive line, that I think they'll be able to carry them. The other thing that they're going to be elite in, and I mean elite, is special teams. Andre Schmidt, the kicker, has been fantastic. He was a Groza Award winner last year. He's the best kicker in the country, or certainly one of the best. And then Sterling Hoffrichter, the punter, was first team All-ACC. So we like to gloss over the special teams, especially in the offseason, because it's not sexy. But Syracuse has 2 elite specialists that got one of the best special team coaches in the entire country. And when you talk to coaches, they look at football in 8 different phases, offense, defense, and 6 special teams. Syracuse is going to be in 6 special teams. They're going to be really good on defense, and that'll give the offense some time, opening up with Liberty and at Maryland. Tricky games, but certainly manageable. That'll give Tommy DeVito and that offense some time to be able to get going. I think they're going to be able to run the ball with Mo Neal and Abdul Adams. I think Syracuse is going to be really good. After that, Virginia, Miami are kind of in that mix. NC State, we think, is going to be good. We just don't know. We just don't know the guys. They haven't named a quarterback yet. They're having to at receiver. So he's got questions, but right now it looks like it's Clemson, Syracuse, 1 and 2 for me, and then there's a bunch of teams right thereafter.
Talking with Roddy Jones of the ACC Network as we reach the ACC on day 2 of our Power 5 conference previews. You mentioned Miami, new coach in Manny Diaz. He's been there. He's the D coordinator who takes a Temple job, and then Miami comes available when he goes back home to Miami, and he already made a huge decision that I don't think many people saw coming. How surprised were you when it wasn't Tate Martell named QB number 1, but it was Jaren Williams, Roddy?
I was really surprised that it wasn't either Tate Martell or Tosi Perry. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum all offseason about those 2 guys, Nkosi Perry, Tate Martell, Nkosi Perry, Tate Martell. And then the kid that we didn't know anything about, you know, I think he played in 1 game against Savannah State last year. I think he threw 8 passes in that game. So Jaren Williams comes out and wins the job. And to me, that's a good sign for Miami that they make that decision 2 weeks before the opener. You give him 2 weeks to start to install the game plan and really take control of this team. That's why the timing happened. It's also a good sign that it was Jaren Williams, because there could have been some, all right, Tate Martell's here, let's give him the job. Or Nkosi Perry is the guy that's played the most at the University of Miami, let's give him the job because guys know him. You know for a fact that Jaren earned that job. And while we don't know about Williams, what he did in high school, and the little bit that we've heard in spring and in fall practices, you can bet that if he won that job, which he did, he, Dan Enos' system, a lot of completions on the short to intermediate routes. It's going to be a lot of West Coast principles. You think there's going to be RPO. So for him to be named as a redshirt freshman, I think it bodes well for Miami because it shows that he took control of that job. Manny Diaz basically said that that as long as you don't burn the house down, then you've got a shot to be quarterback in the University of Miami. And it sounds like he's not burning the house down, and that's a good sign because that defense is going to be really good.
Dusty's fired up about the long-term prognosis of your alma mater at Georgia Tech. And are you excited about the new hire coaching there? And do you think how long will it be before they are competitive?
Well, I'm fired up about Jeff Collins coming in. If nothing else, you want a coach to embrace where you are and embrace the school. And I think he has done that. He's embraced the city of Atlanta. He's embraced what Georgia Tech is, a center of technology and innovation and a great place around Fortune 500 companies. And you've seen the stuff that he's done with Waffle House, which is a tech brand started by Georgia Tech grads, CEOs. Georgia Tech. So you love that as a Georgia Tech fan. Now, the transition's going to be interesting, to say the least. I actually think Georgia Tech is going to be surprisingly good at the offensive and defensive skill positions. You look at receiver, running back, and I think quarterback, too. And then on defense, in the defensive backfield, you're going to see some talent there. We're like, wow, I didn't know Georgia Tech had those kind of guys. They're going to play press coverage on defense. They're going to try and force you to make mistakes. And then on offense, it's going to see what Dave Patineau does ultimately, because the offensive and defensive lines are where Georgia Tech is going to struggle this year. They've got no starts coming back on the defensive line. Antonius Clayton, the transfer from Florida, is the guy that you're counting on to get after the passer, but there's very little depth. There's very little length and size on the line. You're going to get a bunch of guys who are smart, play hard, but there's just going to be games where they're overmatched. So how do you overcome that? And that, I think, will go to who starts at quarterback. It's a three-man race right now with James Graham, Tobias Oliver, and Lucas and Johnson, the best passer, Tobias Oliver being the best runner, and then James Graham kind of being the blend of the two. So we'll see this year. You know, I don't think anybody's expecting Tech to make a bowl game this year. If they do, then Jeff Collins should be in the running for Coach of the Year. But I think year three is when you're looking at this team being competitive. They'll have some depth, he'll have some talent everywhere. They'll be young, but they'll be talented everywhere. And then in year four, they'll have talent that's a little bit older and then depth behind it. But it takes a couple recruiting classes to get a couple of sets of O linemen. Can you have 10, 11 O linemen that you're willing to roll in there? Can you have 8 or 9 defensive linemen that are up in the ACC? And then the skill position players, can you get guys that are explosive, that can make big plays for you? And I think they've done a good job of that. That's the first step. That's the easiest part, is to get playmakers. The hard part is building up depth on the offensive and defensive line. So I think it's going to take 2 or 3 years to start to see Georgia Tech ascend the way I think they will under Jeff Collins.
Roddy, last team I want to ask you about, and it's the Virginia Cavaliers. I've really been impressed with what Bronco Mendenhall has been able to do in his first 3 years. They go bowling 2 years ago, went 8 last year. He's got a lot coming back on defense. And Bryce Perkins at quarterback, are you bullish at all in Virginia? And just how good is Bryce Perkins?
I think Bryce Perkins is the most underrated player in the entire country and the most underrated quarterback. Bronco Mendenhall has been very vocal about the fact that 3rd and 5 to 7 was their most often converted third down last year. Why? That's a drop-back pass situation where Bryce Perkins is just – and making things happen. He was absolutely incredible at keeping the chains moving and managing that offense. They've got some questions on offense. They were not an explosive offense a year ago, so they're going to have to find somebody who creates some plays down the field. I think it's going to be Joe Reed, but we'll see. They're going to have to find – they lose their leading receiver, Alameda Zacchaeus, so they're going to find a place in. They lose their leading rusher. Bryce Perkins is the only guy on offense that rushed for over 100 yards that's coming back this year. They've got some questions, but experience on the offensive line and some really talented receivers, albeit a little unproven. I Virginia to win the Coastal this year. Now, the thing that's going to happen is they got to beat Virginia Tech, which they haven't done in 15 years, and they got to beat Pittsburgh, which they haven't done in Bronco Mendenhall's era. And they start with Pittsburgh and end with Virginia Tech, so there's a little bit of symmetry there. But I really like what Virginia's got coming offensively with Bryce Perkins at offensive line, some talented receivers. Defensively, this is a top 20 defense a year ago, top 25 in all major categories. And they've got some real talent coming back, particularly when you look at the linebacker, the defensive back position. Bryce Paul, the cornerback, potential first-round pick this past year, decides to come back and play here at the University of Virginia, which is excellent for the Cavaliers. I mean, he is a baller. And then they got a guy, outside linebacker, named Charleston, and hasn't done a ton yet. 7'7", 230 pounds. Coaches have raved about him in spring. So he's certainly got the body type. That's the body type that you used to see with Bronco Mendenhall and those BYU defenses on the edge. So he can certainly be a disruptor. I really like the way things are setting up for Virginia. And I think, honestly, I think they'll win the division because they've got the best player at the most important position in that division, which is Bryce Perkins, a quarterback. And they've got a top 25 defense. And if you can play well at the quarterback position and play well on defense, you're going to have a chance to win every game. So I really like them a little more than Miami. I think Miami's got more upside, but there's more unknowns with the Hurricanes, too.
Perfect, Roddy. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Roddy.
We appreciate the breakdown. Best of luck this year, and we can't wait to see you on the ACC Network, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. Always fun. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Roddy Jones, former Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket now, an analyst for the ACC Network. Marcus, what's going on with Bob Moore?
So it was a guy at Georgia Tech that invented the smothered, covered, and chunked. Huh?
That's correct.
You haven't seen Jeff Collins all over social media with all the Waffle House stuff? He's Waffle House-ing every day.
Well, nothing wrong with Waffle House,
like
man. I don't know. If you don't like Waffle House, I don't know if there's something wrong with you. We're here at Bob Moore for today. Come by and see us. The Hurry Up and Save sales event is going on right now. They got some great-looking trucks outside here on display. Also some cool cars inside. We got a Model A 1930 right here in front of us where we're sitting today. The 2019 Mustang up to $5,000 off the MSRP, iconic car. Also, the fully redesigned 2020 Explorer is in stock here right now. 89th and I-35, so easy to find right in the middle of Oklahoma City. Get by and see us. We got more on the ACC coming up next. Stay tuned to the Monsters.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
Oklahoma State's got a punter. Their punter's from
WWLS 460-9957 if you're numerically challenged. By the telephone, 888-285-9957. We'll get you in, and we'll get you a line with us today. I'm at Metro Shoe Warehouse. Dusty is in for the Byford Auto Group. Matt Ravis is in for the love of basketball today in studio. And so we'd love to talk to you. Did you caught Hard Knocks last night, Dusty? I know we talked about that a little in the 11 o'clock hour. My favorite part of Hard Knocks came at the very end of the show last night.
Clee, when the gummy bears coming? I actually ordered them 2 weeks ago.
I had to get the Popeyes first.
I ain't kidding about no Popeye. I asked you to get the gummies.
I thought you said we ain't buying no fat snacks.
I said get those gummies.
Oh.
They're not for me. I don't eat sugar, but I want them for the rest of the guys. You ain't never seen me put no sugar in my mouth.
Albanese gummies.
You might eat before the meeting. You know
I don't eat before the meeting. I ain't like you. You're a habitual fat person that like to sneak around and eat.
That was good.
That's pretty good.
A habitual fat person. Oh, man.
That's Vincent Buckner, right?
Yes.
The D-line coach?
Yes.
I remember him as a player. That's pretty good. Now, it's got to be Haribo gummy bears, right? We'd all agree that that's the best gummy bear, correct?
I think the one that he mentioned is solid. The Albanese or whatever. Have you guys had those?
I don't need to. Haribo's the best gummy bear. I mean, plain and
I'm going to have to Google that. I don't know if you put it in the same category, but if you give me the choice of a sour worm and a gummy bear, I'm taking the sour worm every time, and I believe those are trolleys.
I don't know, man. Haribo gummy bear. Haribo any gummy is the way to go, bro.
I'm on the Haribo train, but you ought to try these Albanese ones that he was talking about, man. They're solid.
Albanese.
I never sent you guys a picture of the packaging.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What is the clearly when you if you would eat one of these Albanese, you got to go with the red or the purple. I mean, like I don't the clear gummy bears kind of freak me out.
What do you mean they freak you out?
I don't
you
like
think they don't have flavor.
Yeah, they kind of it's a deke. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like if you eat a red one, you know it's going to be cherry. If you eat a purple one, you know it's going to be grape. If you eat a clear one, what is it going to be?
Surprise.
I don't like the clear.
It could
like
be pineapple. It could be coconut.
That's
right.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
Well, I do like both pineapple and coconut. I don't usually like pineapple or coconut in a candy or popsicle. I got, you know, you ever go to, you know, you go to the store and there's, you get the mesh bag of like 50 popsicles sticks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, when I throw them, I had kind of a tactical error, last maybe a year ago, year and a half, as I really didn't consider those to be very caloric. And I mean, I could polish down quite a bit of those ice things. And, so
straight
I had
sugar, bro.
I know. They're highly caloric, and I had to ration those. But anyway, the last ones that are in there are always the kind of clear ones, whether they're coconut or pineapple or whatever. Those are the last ones to go.
I feel very confident in this. Mark, if you'd like to erect a poll today, I think that people would agree, by far and away, the best gummy candy is a Haribo. And we're not talking about the ones that are infused with THC, people, so don't go crazy. I'm talking about children's
they have
gummy bears.
Infused with THC?
There's gummies out there. I'm just saying it could get a little, people could get funny on the social, but if we're just talking plain old gummy bears, Haribo, I think, wins in a landslide. I'm just saying, like, okay, Haribo's up here, and everybody else is way down here.
Can I please give the option of a sour worm?
I mean,
can
sure.
Add that to there?
That's
okay.
Fine.
But I'm going to do the poll right now.
There's probably a Haribo worm that you'd want to have. Just saying that they have the best gummy.
Okay. All right. It's going to go up.
And by the way, if you want to throw those bad boys in the freezer, oh, goodness gracious. Oh, that's the fat kid in me. That's the fat kid in me thinking
now,
about
the
Haribo gummy
kid.
Bears. Yeah, I'm no doubt.
Dusty.
Yes.
Have you ever soaked a Haribo gummy in vodka?
No, I have not.
Don't lie. Don't lie to us.
I've never anyway. Soaked it. I haven't. I don't know. I remember when
Matt Ravis would put
Jolly Ranchers in the Zima, but I've never heard of that too.
I've recently heard of people putting champagne in gummy bears, soaking the bears in champagne.
I've never soaked a gummy bear in anything other than my mouth. That's it. My saliva.
Man. My buddy Otis says Albanese are the best. Blowing away. This could be,
closer
than you think.
Albanese. I'm not buying that for a second. All right, let's get to the phones. Jerry, you're up next. Jerry, you're off the Monsters. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, guys. First of all, I appreciate your show, and thanks for letting me on.
Thank you.
Mark, I appreciate your reference a couple weeks ago to the Tigers Den and Art, and Ada spent many a Thursday night there as well.
I lost my wallet in the Tiger's Den one night, and I drove back halfway to Ada because there was an unofficial pit stop there, yeah. And then I found out that it was eaten by the couch at the Seminole Junior College trailers. So, anyway, it's a happy ending.
Been there, done that. Hey, guys, I've been asking Al and Jim, I was wondering what y'all thought. What was y'all's most intriguing storylines of the college football season this year?
I mean, I think big picture, can anybody dethrone Alabama Clemson? I think that's got to be the top storyline in college football. They've won each of the last four national championships, and they clearly, going into this season again, I would say they have the two best rosters and the two best coaches in college football. So who can take them down? Can anybody take them down?
Jalen Hurts, another big storyline?
Yep. Jalen Hurts, a huge storyline. Can they get another Heisman Trophy winner? Can Lincoln Riley, can he continue to work his magic? And I think also with Jalen, I think everybody wants to kind of see, along with Alabama, if Alabama gets back there like everyone thinks, can Oklahoma get back there and potentially try to face off against his former team? I mean, I think that's, for me, those are probably the two top storylines in the country going into the season.
What do y'all think about all the buzz around Utah?
I think it's for real. I think their defensive line's legit. They got a good quarterback in Hundley back, and Zach Moss, a really good running back. And, I think Kyle Whittingham's a heck of a coach. Schedule is favorable. They do have to go to Washington, which is not going to be easy. I think given they got BYU, but they don't have like a marquee non-conference game. So I think that they probably need to run the table if they're getting the playoff, but I'm buying them as a legit team. I do have Oregon beating them in the Pac-12 championship, but – I mean, that was a tough call. I was really close to picking Utah.
Good stuff. You guys are the best. Thanks.
Thanks, Jerry.
You'd like the Tigers, Dan. You're kind of an adopted Aiden.
I am.
I don't know how all those Ada guys, I don't know how they all adopted you. Roommate situation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes back to, I mean, really. You know who the first Aiden I met was? Got the whole thing started? Brian Odom.
Right.
Brian Odom and Dan Cody. My recruiting visit was, my hosts were Dan Cody, Brian Odom, both Cougars, Teddy Lehman, and Lance Donnelly. And it was, we became fast friends and still are to this day. So that was, I guess that was my initial connection, was those two guys. And then once you know someone from Ada, it kind of seems like quickly you know everybody from Ada. Then I had a roommate from Ada, Mikey Babb, and got to be really close with the Babb family. And, I mean, just you go from there, Yance Vaughn, I mean, you name it. And big fan of Ada. Great people.
All right, and by the way, to close up some business that we left open from the last segment, Coach Dalkey is coaching, I think, the defensive line at Moore High School. Been there for the last couple seasons, so good stuff. Dusty, tell me about the Byford Auto Group.
Well, you got to go by Duncan, Highway 81, and Highway 81 really is where the Byford Auto Group just dominates. You can check them out in Chickasha. It's where my wife and I got her vehicle, but also in Duncan, the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location and the Chevy Buick GMC location. They've got huge deals right now on Silverado and Ram trucks. And for today and tomorrow, if you go and purchase a vehicle, you get a chance to win a free, and I mean absolutely free, jet ski. So don't miss this great event, this great opportunity to get a free jet ski and a brand new beautiful vehicle from Byford Auto Group right there in Duncan. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location and the Chevy Buick GMC location. A constant reminder to you that nobody treats you better than Byford. Where are you at today, Mark?
I'm at Metro Shoe Warehouse, where we're having a huge Yeti event today. Yeti has also released a full line of coolers and drinkware in the newest color, River Green. Man, River Green, just for the Oregon Ducks. Yeti and Metro Shoe Warehouse has the whole family covered, even your favorite four-legged friend with some Boomer dog bowls. They come in a variety of colors as well. So come by and see us today. Get ready for tailgating. Get ready for college football season to open here at Metro Shoe Warehouse. Three locations, Quail Springs Marketplace or in Norman on 24th. Or the Embassy Suites, in Tulsa across from the Woodland Hills Mall. We are back with more of your phone calls and more here on the Monsters right after this.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
College football has become a little bit like tennis.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm at Metro Shoe Warehouse. Dusty is in for the Byford Auto Group, dominating Highway 81. We're taking phone calls today, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS. I'm going to visit with Tim Holland, the general manager of Eskimo Joe's in Stillwater. They have a gigantic watch party going on Friday night, which is a cool place. I think that this says a 20-foot LED screen. That's pretty big.
Large and in charge.
It's a large television. So that'll be a great place to watch the Oklahoma State game on Friday.
I'm intrigued by this poll. I'm always intrigued by your poll, Mark.
It's close.
Well, I mean, yeah, you've got your entire family voting for your trolley sour worms. Well, I'm not intrigued by that. By the way, Haribo is in the lead. Thank you, Damon Lane, for speaking some truth today.
There's a lot of support for these Albanese.
That's
Bears.
What I'm saying. It's not in the voting part, but in the comments. They really, the people are outspoken that have had
so
the
Albanese. Everywhere but where it matters, the support is.
Correct. It's a vocal majority, just not an actual majority, if you catch my drift. I'm going to have to try the Albanese, I'll say. Based off of Matt Ravis, what he's had to say, and some of the comments that I see here, it sounds as if there's a new gummy that
to find, Dusty. You can get them in a gas station.
I've never even heard of this until today. Like, when I look for a gummy bear, I mean, it's like I look for one thing. I don't venture off. I think there's a bag of Haribo gummy bears in the pantry at my house.
Yeah, I mean, this is like choosing between a Porsche and a Ferrari. Like, either way, you're doing well.
I don't fit in either one of those, really. So
you need more legroom than that.
Yeah. How about a beautiful Dodge Ram truck from the Duncan Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location, or a beautiful GMC. Pickup truck from the Duncan Chevy Buick GMC location. Now we're talking. Let's pick between
one
of those.
Those sound to me like the Albanese of cars.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they are. By the way, in today for the Byford Auto Group, Duncan locations, Highway 81, where they've got great deals on both Silverado trucks and Dodge Ram trucks. And you come by today or tomorrow, last day to get a chance to get a free jet ski. Constant reminder that nobody treats you better than Byford. I like where you put me there. You set me up there to hit it out of the park, Matt.
Anytime.
I like that transition, don't you, Mark?
We have Jeremy on the line, and when he hangs up, Jeremy will have spoken. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mark. Hey, so I've got a little bit of professional insight into the gummy bear debate.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
You're a pro, huh? An in-house distribution network for probably the biggest convenience store chain in the state, and we supply them with all of the gummy bears. Haribo is definitely dead-on tied with Trolley. It is nowhere near... it's Alabama Clemson.
Really?
Just from a sales standpoint. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's very good information.
Now, the Albanese,
what about these Albanese? Do you have them? Are they okay, a recent addition?
No, so with us, I can't speak for any other chains, but for us, we push them out as a special thing, usually 2 to 3 times a year. And I will say that when they do get pushed out, they instantly disappear. So, yeah, I would... Yeah, were they a regular thing, they'd probably be number one.
Why are you say they a seasonal item?
I have no earthly idea. I don't know if it's some sort of pricing thing or what the deal is. That's how we run it.
Have we hit the sweet spot with the top three? Have we hit? Is that the top three? Would you say Trolley, Haribo, Trolley, Albanese?
Well, it's Haribo, Trolley, and then everything else is a mile below it. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
This is available.
Fantastic information here. Do you get to sample these? Like, you just kind of get you have free reign at the... Okay.
Well, I'm sure I could procure some in less than scrupulous ways, but yeah. Generally.
Nice vocabulary. Well, thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate it. Any sports talk or just gummy bears?
No, just gummy bears.
Oh, we appreciate it. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Yeah. Have a good one, man. Bye.
Hey, by the way, Joe, Jerry, Jeremy have called the 3 J's.
Triple J.
Triple J. Can we keep that going? Any more J's out there want to talk? Maybe just a J.
How about a JH?
We'd love to talk to you. Yeah, remember that? That's what made me think of that. Remember the when was that? Is that this week or last week? I'm forgetting.
We've had calls like that almost daily.
Are you serious?
I wouldn't say almost daily, but definitely a couple times a week.
Is this a theory that OU fans are really adhering to?
The numerology thing, people are really into it.
Stop it.
I don't want to tempt anybody, but the next guy that calls says that,
guys,
we ought to hit like a surprise.
Right now, flashing on this screen, there is a Joey. So let me answer this call and see if we can get him on.
I love it. I love it. But so what, Jamel Holloway, Josh Heupel, and Jalen Hurts? If that happens, I think what Mark said is right. Lincoln Riley needs to scrap any type of recruiting philosophy he has and just go look for the best quarterback with the initials JH. That might be the recipe for success. Joey, you're up next. What's going on? You're off the Monsters. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're fantastic, man. How are you?
Pretty good. I gotta side with Mark on this one, man. The Trolley Sour Worms, there's really not much that can beat it. I'm telling you. If you put gummy bears in front of me or you put sour worms, I got to go with the sour worms. There's just something about it.
Okay, what about a sour gummy bear? Are there sour gummy bears?
That just might break a hole in the space-time continuum. I don't know if that exists.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, we're kind of comparing kind of a little bit of apples and oranges. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's, you know, you throw it in the sour aspect to it. It's kind of a different genre, if you will, a little bit.
Yeah, it is. That's, I guess he could be saying it's comparing apples to oranges. But what is that candy that's sweet and sour? I'm trying to think of it. I think they always have those commercials that say they're first sour, then they're sweet or something like that.
Sour Patch Kids, right?
Sour Patch Kids, yeah. Kids would be kind of that's the hybrid. That's the hybrid.
Okay, and then where would you rank, like, oh gosh, what is it, jelly beans? Like, where would you rank those?
Oh, I love jelly beans. Now,
really?
I do like jelly beans, absolutely. But I like the Starburst jelly beans the best. Like, when Starburst came out with jelly beans, to me, that's the best jelly bean out there. They're fantastic.
Okay. Dusty, here's a question. What's the strangest candy that you have ever eaten or something that you like that no people like? Like, my wife loves Peeps. I can't stand them. I'd much rather light them on fire than
you got to understand, I weighed like 205 in the fifth grade. I was over a 300-pound man. There's not much candy I don't like. I like Peeps. Probably candy corn. I seem to be in the minority. I love candy corn. I think last week my wife randomly bought a bag of candy corn. It was gone in one day. It's to the point that not only do I love candy corn, my wife now loves candy corn, my daughter loves candy corn. So I know it's more of a Halloween topic, but in our house, candy corn's kind of a year-round thing. So that'd probably be the oddest one because I think most people think of it as wax and don't like it, whereas I think it's delicious honey-tasting candy that I can't get enough of. Zots for me.
Here's another question then, all right? Is there anything that you do to your candy? Like me, I love to put like a Snickers or like a Reese's in the freezer. You do that, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I like to put the gummy bears in the freezer, so I'm kind of with you on that. Hey, thanks. Joey, enough. Thank you, Joey. My goodness gracious. That's what? The most candy questions I've ever had. Holy cow.
I liked it. I was entertained.
No, it's good.
I read something that's going to blow your mind. You want to wait until after the break?
Well, we got to get Jeremy in here. We got the Jays going. We got another Jeremy. So let's see how many Jays we can get to call in today. Jeremy, you're going to close out this hour. What's up?
I only called because I heard that Jay. And, of course, hey, I like candy corn, and I'm not a sweets lover. My girl just brought me the Indian corn a week ago. And same thing. It was gone in about a day with the pumpkins in it.
Man, the pumpkins are good now. I like those.
Jeremy. Pumpkins. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about Portland State?
None. But
okay.
I don't think there's any concern there. But I will be tickled to death if we can pull off a bowl game, and he will be doing a great job.
I think Arkansas is going to win that one. But I'm not sure. I'm not so bullish on the season, the rest of the season.
Are you a big Arkansas fan, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, I'm the Arkansas caller.
Oh, very good. I see. I didn't realize that. Well, I would say there's nowhere to go but up, man. I mean,
I like him. I didn't know nothing about the guy, but what I've seen and I hear, I really like him. And, of course, I think the reason he got the job, which is the best thing ever, is that he's a Texas. He's entrenched in Texas, and that's huge. So,
yeah, I mean,
I like what I hear from him, you know.
They've been able to get some, I think, some skill talent, right? They got some wide receivers, I think,
they
that they feel pretty good about. I don't know, man. I'm Ben Hicks, if he's your starting quarterback, I watch Ben Hicks at SMU. Mm-mm. I don't know, man. I'm a little bit concerned about that department for you.
Well, I think we know. It can be worse. Last year there wasn't a guy there that could throw to save his life. No,
that's right. You're definitely right on that.
You know, I don't know him either. I don't know. I haven't seen him much. You've seen Hicks a little bit. I know he put up a bunch of numbers in that league, but
yeah, no, I watched him the last 2 years.
Are you guys big on Starkle?
I thought he was okay. You know, we saw him for a little bit at A&M. Again, without having watched any of this quarterback competition, if you would have just told me it's between these two, I would have thought Starkle would have been the guy. Just because, again, I don't want to bury Ben Hicks, but I was just underwhelmed. I did two SMU games, Chad's last year at SMU, and I did an SMU game last year. And I was around. Went to the program, talked with Sonny Dykes about Ben Hicks, and I just, I don't know, a little bit less than to be desired. But hopefully they can have a bounce back year. Again, I'll just say this for Chad Morris. He needs to win more than two games, and they got to find a way to win a game in the SEC, right? I mean, because, as you know,
absolutely.
First time in the history of the program to have a 10-loss season. You need to show some improvement in year two.
Yep, I think they will.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, man.
I'll tell you what, that's an accomplishment that will never be broken. It can only be tied. I want an hour of calls from all guys whose name begin with J.
Oh, my gosh. You ready to have your mind blown? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, doctor. Tell the people where you're at and on the other side of this break. I'm going to send you this, and we may have had a game changer. Where are you at, Mark?
Metro Shoe Warehouse. We are here at the location in Quail Springs Marketplace. Come by and see us. Get some great Yeti stuff. Also, all kinds of gear in here to get you prepped for the big opening weekend of college football. Your mind is blown when we return on the Monsters.
Yes! The 2019-2020 Oklahoma.
Doing a fantastic job producing this show. Thanks for joining. It's college football season. We got games fired up tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. If you ain't fired up, check your pulse. Something is wrong with you. We will be action-packed tomorrow, just to give you an idea. Marty Smith with the Dylan Moses linebacker at Alabama news coming out today. He is likely lost for the season. Marty Smith was slated to join us today, but he has been bumped to tomorrow. So Marty Smith tomorrow at noon, okay? Then I think one of Oklahoma's favorites, Todd Furman, will handicap the games at 12:25. So appointment listing tomorrow in the noon hour. Then Jake Trotter, we can give another round of applause for the Trotter family as they have welcomed beautiful baby girl. There's another honorary monster in the world. Congrats to the Trotters. He is with wife and child as we speak. Everyone is healthy and happy. So that is fantastic news. He will join us tomorrow at 1:25. And we'll make our picks tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So, again, tomorrow is going to be like, whoa, what just happened? And we got football before we know it. Oklahoma State fires up on Friday night, and Oklahoma fires up on Sunday. That was a good point Mark made, just the fact that kind of nice this opening weekend. Oklahoma State's kind of a standalone Friday night. Get a chance to watch them. And then Oklahoma Sunday night is a, kind of a standalone. And then you get a chance to watch all the college football Saturday unfold. So it's really, you couldn't ask for much more from the state of Oklahoma and getting a chance to take in all what college football has this official opening weekend. All right, it is time.
Will you do a favor for me?
Of course.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Go by Central Barbecue. You'll thank me later.
I'm writing it down.
You can have the smoke wing or the pork sandwich. The pork sandwich is maybe the juiciest, most succulent pork sandwich I've ever had.
So here's the thing on that. I will. Central Barbecue, I've written it down. And I always take your when you give me food advice, I take it. The problem is Mark Jones, my partner, has already been tweeting to various restaurants in Memphis telling him he's coming. So I've never been to Memphis. I think Jonesy's been there several times. I may, you know, he's the veteran. I may get outvoted. So I will do my best. I'll put in a good word for Central Barbecue because, you know, I love a good barbecue. Memphis is known for their barbecue, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Ribs?
Right.
Aren't ribs a thing there?
Ribs at the, the Rendezvous. But the ribs at the Rendezvous, they're not in the same league as the Central Barbecue.
Okay. Well, I will do my best to make it by there. I'm pretty fired up for that game. By the way, Ole Miss going to be at Memphis. That will be my game kicking things off on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock on ABC. It is time to give us a phone call, 460-9957. First caller is a winner. We will play the chopping block after Mark and I tell you where we are. Mark, what's going on at your location today?
Metro Shoe Warehouse, it's time for tailgating, and Yeti has got all the must-haves to make your tailgate the best experience possible. From coolers, drinkware, and even one of their newest products, the Lowlands Blanket, which is guaranteed to keep you dry and clean, which is important. So get by here and see us today at Metro Shoe Warehouse. We're in the Quail Springs Marketplace. You can also shop in Norman on 24th across from the Embassy Suites, and it's also across from Woodland Hills Mall.
Very nice. I'm in today for the fine folks with the Byford Auto Group, the Duncan location, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, as well as the Chevy Buick GMC. It's right there along Highway 81 in Duncan. And they've got great deals right now on Dodge Ram trucks, Silverado trucks. You go by today, tomorrow. This offer ends tomorrow. So take advantage if you're in the market. That's the place to be. You're going to be entered to win a brand new jet ski. Absolutely free. And you know what we say, if it's free, it's for me. So check out your local Byford Auto Group location. And remember that nobody treats you better than Byford. Okay, I've got a couple things here. Matt, just let me know when we have a caller on.
We've got Adam on the line.
Oh, we do.
What,
okay.
Adam? Where was that guy with a J?
Hey, we got to roll the. Let's roll the chopping block.
It's the Monsters of the Midday Chopping Block, sponsored by Mickey Mantle Steakhouse, offering the summer cookout kit for home, which includes your choice of all-natural beefsteak, rub, and two sides. On the chopping block with Mickey Mantle Steakhouse and WWLS, the sports animal.
Adam, thank you so much for playing the chopping block, and we appreciate you listening to the show today. Have you heard this game before? Do you need any further explanation?
You guys go ahead.
All right, Matt Ravis, floor is yours.
All right, boys, I have not clued you into this question at all.
Oh, it's a trick question.
Out of the blue for you, but I figured we could go some fantasy football.
Yeah.
Haven't talked any of that today, and guys, rookie running backs always intrigue me. So, I want to know, who is going to have the better season between Josh Jacobs and David Montgomery? Who's going to be more fantasy relevant this season? Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, David Montgomery from the Bears.
Well, whoever goes first is going to win this debate.
Go ahead, Mark. I'll take the other side. I'll give you the advantage. Go ahead.
I'm high on David Montgomery. I think that he is going to be an outstanding back for the Bears. They love this guy. If you do any reading of Chicago newspapers, they are incredibly high on David Montgomery, and they're even saying that he is a three-down running back, that it's not going to be a lot of carries for Tariq Cohen this season, and Montgomery is an incredible one-cut runner. He's got great vision. First exhibition game, we kind of saw aspects of that. You saw him in Norman, where he ran up and down the field on Oklahoma. He can catch the football. I think that he was a steal in the draft. I mean, he had a great career at Iowa State. And so I love David Montgomery, and I think that he is going to have a chance to be the rookie of the year in the NFL.
Okay. Look, I love David Montgomery too. You know, there's some symmetry between him and I. We were both the 73rd in the NFL draft. We were both drafted by the Chicago Bears. And I got a man crush for his old head coach, Matt Campbell. I love him. But here's the reality. He's not going to be as productive as Josh Jacobs this year. He's the feature back. You go up in the first round and take a guy to be the guy. You say Tariq Cohen's not going to get much run? You're crazy, man. Tariq Cohen's a weapon for the Chicago Bears. That's not going away. He's their third down back. David Montgomery will be a first and second down back, short yardage back, but they're going to split carries. Whereas Josh Jacobs, he's the man. And listen, John Gruden has leaned on rookie running backs before. How about whenever he took Cadillac Williams in the first round, 310 touches in 14 games as a rookie? Look. They want to establish a run game. They got Richie Incognito up front. They're going to run the football. And the other thing about Josh Jacobs, he catches the ball very well out of the backfield. He is a three-down back. He can step up and block. He can catch the football. And he's the feature guy. As much as I like David Montgomery, he's not going to have nearly the fantasy productivity this season as the Oklahoma native Josh Jacobs.
All right, Adam, who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Dusty on this one.
Adam. Very good.
Oh, that's an upset.
That's a great call.
Adam, thank
Dusty
you so doesn't even believe
playing.
That.
I appreciate that very much. I think that's a smart decision. We appreciate you listening. Play the chopping block and enjoy the fine things from Mickey Mantle Steakhouse. Thanks, man.
Hey, Adam, hang on real quick so I can get your info.
All right.
There you go. You don't really believe that, do you, Mark?
I hope Adam inhales some smoke from his grill.
I was already preparing, because he threw this at us out of nowhere, I was preparing my David Montgomery argument. I laid it up for you. I mean,
I know.
I couldn't believe
it. That's what I said. I don't even think you believe that.
No. I'm saying I thought for sure when I said you pick first, you would take Josh Jacobs.
No, real life a proponent of David Montgomery. I mean, like, I've got him on a couple fantasy teams, and I was upset in one league where he drafted one pick before I had a chance to pick. I'm going to fire him out there in the starting lineup.
You're going to fire him out there in the starting lineup?
I love rookie running backs in fantasy football. There's always good value to be had there.
Yeah, you can fight him a little bit later. I just think it's interesting. You think Tariq Cohen's just going to go away.
I don't think he's going to go away, but I think he's going to be a little less.
Well, I think the question is that Bears offense prolific enough to sustain both of those guys? Because if the offense is good enough, you can have two running backs who can produce for fantasy.
Yeah, no, you can. I don't know if it is. But Tariq Cohen, he's a change of pace back, right? I mean, he's a scat back. He's a small, quick, shifty guy. He had 71 catches last year, guys. I think that, you know, like Jordan Howard was the lead horse running the football. He had 250 carries to Tariq Cohen's 99. But Tariq Cohen had 91 targets and 71 catches. I mean, the dude is a weapon. Now, maybe you find a way to integrate both. You know, maybe Tariq Cohen takes on more of a slot receiver role, I guess, if they want to motion him out or do some different things with him. But I don't see Tariq Cohen's role going down in this offense at all. He's one of their best weapons.
Put them both out there at the same time.
I mean, I'll say this about Josh Jacobs. Who is his competition? They just cut Doug Martin. Jalen Richard is the second running back.
He should have some volume.
He's going to get 300 carries. And remember this, too, about Josh Jacobs.
he might have more tread on the tires than any running back we've seen taken the first round. The dude barely played. I mean, Damian Harris was the feature back. So if there was ever a time to fire a rookie out there and just give him the pill, man, it's right now with the Raiders. I mean, I think Josh Jacobs, they're going to get their money's worth out of him.
Based on my viewing of Hard Knocks, he's also not getting much tread on the tires in camp.
He's been invisible.
But I think that's intentional. He fired out a tweet after the second episode. I'm pretty sure people were asking him why he hadn't been seen. He said because he's avoiding the cameras. I mean, people don't want to put guys on the camera that aren't having fun, aren't being entertaining, aren't embracing the moment. You know, if you're kind of just walking around, moping around, and making it a point to not want to be on camera, that doesn't sell. So I think that's as much by choice as it is anything else.
Right. John Gruden's got plenty of camera time.
Golly.
Hey, I had a text at the end of last hour
I still got to blow your mind, by the way.
On this situation of, Jimmy Harris, OU quarterback, national champion. Josh Heupel, OU quarterback, national champion.
Jimmy Harris, I forgot about that
Jamel
one,
Jamel Holloway, OU quarterback, national champion.
Jalen Hurts.
But okay, what about Joey Halsey? That was a JH without a national championship.
I like Joey. Just didn't
Where's Joey coaching
out.
Right now?
Well, he got out of coaching. I think he got back into it. He was in the coaching world.
Starter, but does it count against the JH championship trend?
According to his Twitter bio, he's an offensive analyst and assistant wide receiver coach at UCF.
Yeah, so he's very close with Josh Heupel. That's his guy. Very close with John Cooper, who's there as the tight ends coach. Love those guys. I can't wait to see them third week of the season, as I'll be calling Stanford at UCF. But he left coaching for a couple years. As a matter of fact, his now wife, she babysat for us for a little bit. But he got out of coaching and then got back in. So Central Florida, down there with his boys. Was he in the quarterback race with Sam Bradford?
I guess in a race is kind of the same way that that those guys that were talking trash to Ravis last night were in a pickup game.
Right. Right. I'm just saying, though, that's who the other competition was, right? Was it Joey Halsey, or am I getting my quarterbacks confused?
No, that was that year.
Okay. All right, so here's a couple things. Two things have come up. And I tweeted this out, and I sent it to you guys. Haribo has sour gummy bears. Actually, sour, it's Haribo Gold Bears. Sour edition. They're already out there. So I didn't know that these existed. I'm going to have to try these. And I think, Mark, you owe it to yourself to at least give them a try. Because as much as you love your gummy worms, this could change your life forever.
I agree. I think that would be something that I would find delicious. But the problem for me is that this candy retails for $6.49. That's like as much money as I'd spend on lunch. I mean,
that's a quarter of what people are going to pay for a beer in Norman
per bear,
this week.
That's significantly expensive.
That's a big bag of gummy bears, though, man. That's a 25-ounce bag. I mean, that could last you like a whole weekend, man.
Do you think it's larger than it appears in picture?
That's my claim all the time.
I think that just looks like, something you pick up off the shelf, regular size. I don't know how many ounces 25 ounces is, but if it's that big, then that could be a problem due to my addictive habit with candy.
Here's the other thing. I got one more real quick. So there was that. Uh-huh. Which I thought was a game changer, a mind blower, because we didn't even know that this existed. But then Josie Thompson tweets at me, Starburst flavored candy corn. Whoa. Who knew that existed? I didn't.
I had some sour Starbursts last week, and those were good.
Well, I'm just telling you, Starburst candy corn, the Starburst jelly beans have been around a while, but you know how I feel about candy corn. This could go one of two ways. It could be amazing, or it could taste nothing like the original candy corn and throw me off and make me not like it. But I got to try this.
Do you think this is like strictly a Halloween thing, or you think I can go find this anywhere? This may be on the plane ride tomorrow.
I see it right now.
You see it right now?
Yeah, whoever the distributing mogul that called in earlier today, surely he could find one of us out and about, you know, bring us a care package.
Ooh, that would be very nice. By the way, my wife's sending me pictures. I guess she's listening to the show today. My sweet, beautiful baby girl. She has her lunch plate in front of her, and it's filled with gummy bears. Haribo gummy bears.
Dusty, this seems ominous. I'm looking up your Starburst candy corn on Amazon. It says, we don't know when or if this item will be back in stock.
It's like Traber's cactus yeah. flower tea.
Yeah, prickly pear tea.
What? Prickly pear tea?
Yeah. When that got discontinued. Well, it didn't really get discontinued. But anyways, that was the whole point of contention.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, this is... So what you're saying is I may never actually get to taste these Starburst candy corn? Just a figment of my imagination?
Unless it comes back in stock, but they don't seem very confident.
Okay. Well, very good. All right, let's take some more phone calls. We'll be back. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. If we don't, I do want to get into some more fantasy because just that one topic that Matt Ravis brought up, it really piqued my interest. And I've got my fantasy draft coming up. I think it's next Monday, and I'm sure a lot of people, if you're smart, you've waited, and you'll be having your fantasy draft probably coming up anytime from right now through about this time next week. That's the smartest time to do it, get an idea who's making rosters, who's healthy, and exactly what the legitimate options to draft are. I feel bad for anyone out there who's taken Lamar Miller, who's taken Andrew Luck, or any of the other players that have unfortunately been injured or not going to be playing this upcoming season. We'll do that and more next on the Monsters of the Midday.
The Morning Animals.
I can tell you this.
Appreciate all the Jays out there and Adam for joining us via phone calls, chiming in on the candy topic that has been unbelievably entertaining today. And now, Mark, we have a special guest joining us. Who we got, Mark?
Tim Holland, the general manager of Eskimo Joe's, is having a watch party on Friday night, man. Tim, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
How many cheese fries you sold this year?
Quite a few. We cut about 200 to 300 pounds of fresh potatoes every single day. So, you know, it fluctuates depending on the time of year. But we go through a lot of potatoes, and we cut them fresh every day. That's why it's hard to beat. And we're grading the cheese fresh every day as well. So there's just nothing quite like cut hand by hand and made to order.
What time do the festivities kick off? It's a late kick, but I'm sure you guys got it rolling quite a bit before kick, right?
Yeah, for sure. Late kickoff, but we're actually going to open the venue up at 6 o'clock. We've got a giant video wall that we're going to have on stage, so we'll be running some video clips and whatnot. We've got a live band performing between 7 and 9. We're going to have a little bit of a pep rally before the game broadcast. We're excited to have Pistol Pete, the OSU pep man, the OSU Palm Squad. I know Coach Boynton's planning to be here to speak and possibly, with some of the guys from the team. Colin Carmichael, our soccer coach, is going to be here with some of his team, and Coach Gajewski here with the softball team. So, it's National College Colors Day across the country. We just have the unique opportunity of having a game on television. So we're gonna celebrate. It's going to be a real school-spirited event with some of the other programs down here participating, and it'll be a lot of fun, obviously, kicking the broadcast off at 9:30. So we've got a lot of things planned. It's going to be a good time.
Hey, are you going to spin the wheel of beer? I mean, one of the great nights I had in Stillwater, the wheel of beer landed on Free Keg after Oklahoma State basketball game, and then I had to book accommodations for the evening.
Yeah, sadly, we cannot offer free kegs anymore now that we have beer in Oklahoma. But we did get a bit of good news this last week. I'm sure you guys saw the story broke that accounts that are within 2,000 feet of an institution are going to be able to sell beer to go. We were worried that we were going to have be confined to our licensed area on premise, but we are excited that we're going to be able to do beer on game days to go because we fall within the distance requirements. So we are excited about that. And we will have a full bar available Friday night for sure. We'll be cooking live on the grill and a full bar open, as well as some inflatables for the kids and a lot of giveaways. And it's going to be a fun time for the whole family. I know it's Labor Day weekend. A lot of people may be peeling out of town, but we're hoping those who are around might come down and have an experience with us Friday.
Well, did you have to retire the Wheel of Beer, or is it still prominently
it's
featured?
Good question. It's still going strong every Wednesday night. We spin it every 30 minutes. Actually, under the new laws, we've got some flexibility because now there's no distinguishment between beer and liquor. So if we chose to, we could even have cocktails up on the wheel. But no free kegs. Wheel of Beer is still going strong. Now that school's back in session, Wednesday nights are jumping again. So,
our great Tim, thanks a lot. We'll look forward to it. Dusty and I come see you every time we're in Stillwater together. So, and I would also like to thank you for furnishing all the glassware in my house.
Yeah, you're so welcome, man. I look forward to seeing you guys. And by the way, my vote is for Haribo all the way. I can't believe that's even a debate with you guys.
My man.
And you know, you guys talk a lot about food on this show. Maybe I need to have my own little Joe segment. We could call in and discuss that, man. You guys speaking my language today, so
I love it. Let's set it up.
All right, man. See you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. We appreciate it very much.
Tim Holland.
There you go. He said it's a no-brainer. I kind of agree. And if you'd like to read off the results currently of your poll, I think that as predicted, it's starting to become a runaway.
Let me take a look at my poll. 55-36.
Mm-hmm. Getting up there.
55-36. 517 votes.
I feel pretty like popular poll. Ravis's numbers are going the opposite direction. Sorry, Matt.
That's all right. I can have the satisfaction
though,
knowing they're great.
This is like a win for Albanese, in my opinion, because
I didn't even know about Albanese until this.
In the comments, there are a lot of high praise for Albanese gummy bears, and I think that people that, you know how you kind of, you don't want everybody to like what you like? It's kind of cooler if you like something that you don't feel like everybody knows about. Those 9%, I think, are pretty proud.
Yeah. I mean, like Adam Sandler movies are, they always make a ton of money, but are they cinematic masterpieces? Not necessarily. Could be the same thing going on here. And again, these are all great choices.
What is
popular
this?
Does not mean the best.
So we're talking gummy bears, and now you're going to try to kill Adam Sandler here, Matt Ravis? I mean, what's going on?
I'm not trying to trash him. I'm just saying. We don't put him up there with Godfather, but he's still making bank.
There ain't no doubt about that. I would agree with you on that. He is not Robert De Niro. He is not Al Pacino. But I'm a fan of Adam Sandler. I would say his earlier work, more so than some of his latest work, but
he made a great appearance on Saturday Night Live earlier in the season.
Yeah, Chris
in the
Farley.
Spring as Opera Man.
Yeah, well, that rendition he did of Chris Farley was off the charts.
It was great.
That little song. Hey, okay, so fantasy football, unless I'm guessing 460-9957 if you want to jump in. If not, let's talk some fantasy football. You've already had some, both you guys have already had drafts. Where Zeke? You said you wouldn't take Zeke before the third round. Is that right, Mark?
I don't think I don't see any signs that he's coming to camp. Third round for sure, I would take a chance.
I think second round, man. Golly, I don't even know first round. If you get later in the first round, I mean, that's tough because potentially he might not be there. But golly, once he gets there.
I think I'm with Mark on this one. I just feel like even if he does come back, I mean, how many weeks into the season is it going to be? If it's week six, that's halfway through your fantasy season.
Okay, but I mean,
AJ Green's another guy that you have to kind of
down the stretch, man. You want to have Zeke on your team? Just saying. I mean,
sure, absolutely. I'm so risk averse when it comes to fantasy, so I think I'm with Mark on this one.
I don't know. Okay, what about Todd Gurley?
Not high on him at all. I would look for other options.
I kind of like Todd Gurley this year. I mean, just it's all based on value, right? Where is he going?
Yes.
Like second round?
That's what I would think. I don't think I'd take a first round pick, but I think start of the second round, I'd have to be in the Todd Gurley business.
Yeah,
that's
he's been a mid second round to late second round pick.
Okay, I think that's probably about right. What about Joe Mixon? I think Joe Mixon might be a latter first round type pick, or at least a running back that I would definitely would not let get out of the second round.
Certainly. I mean, I might draft him first round.
That's what I'm saying. I think late in the first, I think he's there. Depending on if you're a receiver or running back guy, just kind of what's your cup of tea?
He's right at the end of the curve. So in most 12-team drafts, you're going to have probably three receivers go off the board. DeAndre Hopkins is a consensus. He's been the number one receiver picked in every draft that I've had.
Should be.
Julio Jones is a guy that goes in the first round, and then
Devontae
Travis
Adams.
Kelce is
what
very
Devontae
popular.
Adams?
Yeah, Devontae Adams has gone in a lot of first rounds. Right.
You can't take Travis Kelce in the first round, can you?
I don't know. Tight end, that's pretty high for a tight end, but.
He did have some big numbers last year. He had 103 catches, 10 tugs last year.
It felt like Gronk hardly ever lived up to his draft value.
That's just high. I mean, because Tyreek Hill, I'd take Tyreek Hill before I take Kelce. And it just seems crazy that if you would have two pass catchers in the first round from one team, that just seems a little much.
Yeah, you're probably kneecapping yourself a little bit there.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, I definitely think first round worthy. He'd be, I would say, if I was in my draft order of receivers, Hopkins, I think Michael Thomas. He had 125 catches last year. He just got that money. That's not going away. I think Michael Thomas would be my number two receiver for fantasy. Then Devontae Adams. Then I'd probably go Julio. I don't think Tyreek Hill or Odell Beckham after that. I'm somewhere in that camp. And I'm afraid for Odell because Jarvis Landry on the other side, I mean, he's probably going to take some of his runaway, right?
A little bit. I think teams really focused on covering Jarvis Landry last year. I mean, he's got as many catches as anyone in the history of pro football through the first however many years of his career. I think it's five. Or he did before last season.
That'll be interesting how Odell shares the spotlight. You know, I know that they're teammates at LSU and they're buds and all that, but Odell wants to be the center of attention. If Jarvis is getting better numbers, that could be an interesting situation.
One guy I'm really intrigued in, guys, is Miles Sanders from the Eagles. Right now,
he's
going like round five.
He's winning the job.
He's the guy who succeeded Saquon at Penn State, and man, I really like him this year. I really like him at round five value.
Okay, I can get down with that. I like he was a good player.
They just have not had good running backs. The Eagles have not over the past 5 years. I mean, Jay Ajayi was probably their last really, really good running back who took over that backfield. I think Miles Sanders is the best running back they've had in several years.
They rotate a lot of guys. It's kind of a little bit like the Patriots.
Yeah, well, but they've had like Corey Clement in there and you know, Darren Sproles.
Corey Clement had a heck of a Super Bowl.
He did. That's for sure.
I've kind of liked the Eagles running backs in terms of what the value was for those guys because their offense has still been pretty successful. It's just hard for a fantasy to get a grip on who's going to, you know, if they had one feature back, that could be a really valuable position to have.
No question. Love the fantasy talk. We'll continue this fantasy talk in the upcoming weeks. We ask for calls. We have them. Let's get them in quickly. We continue with the Jays. Joe, what's up? You're on the Monsters. Go ahead.
Hey, so a couple things to comment on. I would consider myself a gummy bear connoisseur, and the Haribo Gold original, can't go wrong with those. Those are top of the line.
Agreed. No doubt.
Next thing, for my fantasy team, my first running back I picked was Josh Jacobs. I got high hopes for him. So,
what round you take him?
I think fourth round.
That's a value pick for me. That's well done. So would you go? Would you go heavy receiver early? Tell me your team real quick.
I can kind of pull it up real quick.
Crazy you waited until the fourth round to take your first back. That's interesting.
Yeah, I did. So, you know, my first pick was Patrick Mahomes. Of course, couldn't go wrong with him.
First round, I had to.
So, I've got Odell, Julian Edelman, Amari Cooper. So I'm kind of hopeful on him.
How many teams are in this league?
We've only got eight in this one. We've always kept it small. So
there's gonna be some stacked teams in there, man.
There is, yeah. So we've always kind of kept it small, so that's where we're headed. But that's just a little bit. My question was, and I'll take it off the air, Hard Knocks, the first year I ever watched it was last year, so I kind of was spoiled thinking about it. I watched it this year, so I'm kind of biased. I'm a Baker Mayfield fan, big Sooner guy. So if you guys watched it before last year, what was your favorite season? And if any of them tops the Cleveland Browns, and I'll take that off the air.
Appreciate it, Joe. Marcus, any thoughts? I'm trying to think back.
Yeah, it's hard to remember all of them. But the Browns, to me, was the Browns and the Buccaneers were both good because it really shined a light on what I thought was some ineptitude in the coaching ranks.
That the Browns is tough to beat. I just with some of the stuff that was coming out of that head coach's mouth last year, the sit down with Baker to tell him he was the backup quarterback over Drew Stanton, holy cow, was that an absolute nightmare? I mean, I have been watching for a while. I remember the Baltimore Ravens the first year. It seems as if it was way more about the football back in the early days, and it's become more about the storylines as of late. But yeah, I'd say Browns is kind of sticks in my head.
How about the first season that I ever watched was the Jets in 2010? Remember Antonio Cromartie not being able to name all of his children?
Yes.
Oh, well, that has to be a golden moment of Hard Knocks.
That was like one of the best moments of Hard Knocks ever.
Great call, Matt Ravis.
Rex Ryan up in there,
Rex
too.
Ryan was
awesome.
Is that when we found out about his foot fetish, or was that a different time? He cracked a joke on himself the other day on NFL Live. It was pretty funny. They were talking something about feet. I think it was on Antonio Brown. And he said something like, don't get me started on feet. It was pretty well done by Rex Ryan. Yeah, the Jets was definitely interesting. Cincinnati Bengals
were in
the spotlight 1 year.
You're going to have to cast quite a spell on me to get me involved in any kind of foot fetish.
Not a feet guy? You don't go for the middle toe?
Nope.
Okay.
Probably not.
Let's get BJ on. BJ, you're going to close it out for the calls today. You're on the Monsters. Go ahead, BJ.
Hey, great, guys. Well, a couple things. Dusty, I am all about the candy corn myself.
My man.
Love me some candy corn. And then I got two words for you guys. Beaver nuggets.
I've heard about
those at Buc-ee's.
That's at Buc-ee's, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Are they really? Yeah.
I haven't had them, but I hear they're incredible.
What separates them from something else in the chicken nugget category?
Well, they are just kind of like a little caramelized candy.
Nuggets.
No, they're not chicken nuggets.
Dessert, Mark. It's a dessert.
It's like little piece, little nuggets, and they're great. Great to snack on. And then just want to get you guys' take on I'm a Texas guy, or Texas A&M guy from Texas. Okay. Want to get your take on what with the A&M's schedule, kind of what you think is going to happen with my Aggies this year?
Sure, I appreciate the call very much, BJ. Look, I'm in on Texas A&M Jimbo Fisher, but I just think it's next year. I think it's 2020. I think 2020 they have a legitimate chance to compete to win the SEC West. I just think this year it's going to be tough. I mean, as you know, Clemson, week number two. And when you look at the schedule, it's going to be very, very difficult. At the end of the year, you got to go to Georgia, to LSU, obviously play Bama. Now, A&M's coming off a bye, but Bama's coming off a bye. Never good to have Nick Saban with an extra week of preparation. I think the Auburn game will be interesting. They get them at home. I think A&M's a better team than they were a year ago with the same record. I got them probably 8-4, maybe 9-3, but I just think that schedule's too daunting. At Clemson, at Georgia, at LSU, and then home games against Alabama and Auburn. It's going to be tough, but I think they'll be a good team. And Kellen Mond was a much improved player last year. I would imagine year two in Jimbo Fisher's system, that's only going to continue.
That's tough. I had no idea there were so many people that fancied themselves as gummy bear aficionados. That's nuts.
Dude.
A lot of people are like, they really think that they know they're gummy bears.
His word was connoisseur.
That's right.
I didn't know that there were that many people out there.
That was Joe. Joe is a connoisseur. You like the Aggies, Marcus?
I can concur with your assessment. The schedule is very difficult. But I think he's going in the right direction. I think that he's the best coach that they've had at A&M. At least since
ever.
Bear Bryant wasn't there for very long, so I think that he's going to end up, I think, actually getting A&M more relevant than they've been.
I think when it's all said and done, Jimbo Fisher will be looked at as the best coach that's come through there, and he should be. That's the expectation when you give the man 10 years, $75 million, right? I mean, and I give A&M credit. They've stepped up and they've spent a lot of money to try to make sure that they've got a good football program. Those facilities, I did the Auburn A&M game 2 years ago on ESPN Radio, and that was the first time I'd seen those facilities in person. They're off the charts. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. You could see where the $500 million went. I also noticed in that game, it's what told me Kevin Sumlin probably wasn't going to make it. That place wasn't full, which I was not accustomed to seeing, because, and I know that they've added some seats, but
the College Station that I played in back in 02 when they took us down as the number one team in the country, that was as raucous a place I've ever been in. And same goes, I was a recruit in 2000 in the famous Torrance Marshall interception game. I mean, that the venue there and the crowd, when it gets whipped into a frenzy, when they got it rolling there, it is a true home field advantage, and I think Jimbo, he's going to have just that. Marcus, what's going on with you today?
It is the time of the year for tailgating. Yeti has all the must-haves to make your tailgate the best experience possible, from the coolers, the drinkware, and even one of their newest products, the Lowlands Blanket, which will keep you clean and dry. Could be raining on Sunday. Just saying it's possible. So they have released a full line of coolers and drinkware here in the newest color, River Green. So they've got that and more. All the great apparel. OU, OSU. I'm looking at NFL polo shirts here. They've got it all. Great selection at Metro Shoe Warehouse. We are at the Quail Springs Marketplace. You can also go and see them in Norman or in Tulsa across from Woodland Hills Mall.
Excellent. I'm in today for the fine folks at Byford Auto Group, Duncan location, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and the Chevy, Buick, GMC. It's all along Highway 81. Great deals. Silverado and Ram pickup trucks. And by the way, they got a chance to get a free jet ski today and tomorrow. It ends tomorrow, so go by, check it out, take advantage, and experience why nobody will treat you better than Byford. We'll close up shop next on the Monster.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
That's the worst thing I see guys do now is get off.
You up for the college football season? That's right. Tomorrow night, one more day. One more day. We've got some good action. We got UCLA Cincinnati. We got the Holy War late night on ESPN. Good slate for the opening night. OSU, they're going to be up in Corvallis on Friday night. A full slate of games on Saturday. And obviously, Oklahoma with the standalone game on Sunday night. Have you guys shed any light on potentially some of your picks that we may be looking at tomorrow, Marcus? Any point spreads jumping out at you that you want to lock in, or maybe some people out there that are intrigued by that want to get that pick in early before a line moves?
No, I'm not going to show my cards in that. I'll go over that tonight. There are some good options.
Yeah,
out there.
By the way, with the first Bet the Board podcast that I was on, we have Todd on tomorrow. But I do. I joined them for a podcast, Bet the Board podcast. Todd Furman, Payne the Insider, myself. We handicap five games each week. We don't pick winners. We just kind of break it down, and then I think they do their own winners. They just ask for a little bit of my analysis and different my experiences, meet with coaches, blah blah blah, that kind of stuff. But it's a fun podcast, so I think they do a excellent job. It's more than just me on there. They have other people talk to you about the line movement, talk to you about all these different things that if you are into sports betting, very beneficial. So you might want to check that out. Their first one for the college football season dropped around lunchtime today. But the there were a couple of games. I think we might have a differing opinion, I do, than them on the big game Oregon-Auburn. I haven't decided. I mean, I said on the Bet the Board podcast that I wouldn't be afraid to play the dog on the money line. And
right.
They made some good points on Auburn. They seem very
they like
high
Auburn?
On – they like – I think they do. I don't know. They didn't divulge exactly. But the way the argument was shaped, it sounded as if – we had some differing opinions. I think they're a little bit higher on Gus Malzahn and him calling plays, what that's going to mean for this team. I'll say this. If Bo Nix, it would be a heck of a win for Bo Nix as a true freshman, his first ever game played, if he's able to take down a team that's as talented as the Oregon Ducks and a quarterback on the opposite side who's probably going to be a first-round pick in next year's NFL draft. So
I think there's a little value in the Pac-12 team just because most people don't think the Pac-12 is very good. And I think
that's
that,
right.
That conferences, it doesn't have anything to do with an individual team. And the 150-something combined offensive line starts is the perfect recipe to challenge an SEC defensive line.
Hey, we're speaking the same language, brother. I'm telling you. You and I are we are absolutely on the same page as it relates to that. But I've pretty much got the bulk of my picks, I think, ready to go. It's like, to me, it's a bit of a crapshoot. Like, sometimes I feel like Vegas isn't quite sure, so you can find some value and hit some numbers. And But then also, there's so many unknowns, right? I mean, like, I always feel more comfortable like week two, three, four of the season. Because
week two is one of the best weeks of the year to wager, because you're going to have it's a good week to kind of go opposite of a wild result in the first week.
Yeah, and at least you kind of know what people are working with to a degree. I think week three for me, because then I have 2 weeks, at least a sample size, because, I mean, everything else is just a guess, really. I mean, we're basing it off of last year's results, how a team finished, what they have coming back. You know, it's just there's so many variables, I think, that go into that. So, I mean, we're still going to do it, and we're still going to be right. But I'm just saying, I feel a little bit more like it's more than just an educated guess. I feel like there's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more meat there that you can grab onto, and you can kind of analyze to get a better feel for what might transpire on the football field.
One final note before we get out of here. OU got a commitment from Jace Borfin, as we talked about, was going to be one of the best high school baseball players in the country next year. There's no guarantee that he ends up at OU because he's going to be a very, very high pick. So that's good news for Oklahoma, and big fans of the Borfin family. So congratulations.
Very cool.
I'm here at Metro Shoe Warehouse. Been here all day. Get by Metro Shoe Warehouse, whether in Tulsa, Norman, or here in Oklahoma City, to get yourself ready for game day, tailgating. They have a ton of great options from Yeti here to gear you up for the season. So stop in and say hi. Tell them the Sports Animal sent you to Metro Shoe Warehouse.
Very nice. Big thanks to the fine folks, the Byford Auto Group, Duncan location, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Also, their Chevrolet, Buick, GMC location, all along Highway 81. Great deals on Dodge, Ram, and Silverado trucks. Take advantage, and today and tomorrow, the final days to take advantage of a free jet ski. That's right. They're giving away a free jet ski. All you have to do is go out to one of the Duncan locations, purchase a vehicle, and enter to win. You know what we say? If it's free, it's for me. And I can tell you from personal experience, there's nobody I'd rather do business with than the fine folks, the Byford Auto Group and Randy Byford himself. 21-hour break right here on the Monsters of the Midday. And remember, we are loaded, loaded tomorrow. Marty Smith, Todd Furman, Jake Trotter, our picks. You don't want to miss the Monsters of the Midday.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus Houston and Bud Light game time is